Cool. Welcome to live stream, everyone. Let me know if our audio is good. We had just a slight connection issues. And don't look behind. Don't look behind Dan's head. It's a real window.
I was logged in. I was all prepped. And then my Wi-Fi in the whole entire house went out. So I'll be with you guys in a second.
It's a real window, okay? It's not a TV screen with Netflix playing or YouTube playing in the background. All right. Welcome. We see Angel again. Good to see you. Maximus, that guy Rye is made out of money because seems to have a super chat.
Dude, you don't have to do that.
We appreciate the support. He said, Dan the man, ASLS 2884 CM. You said, yes, Javier is still posting videos. I don't know what that means. I'm pretty sure Javier is still active on YouTube. Last I saw. I think he made a video a couple days ago.
Hey,
Marie,
I saw-
welcome, New York City Ducky, Danielle, Maximus, Miguel. Let's see who else in here. Awesome. We're going to go through your home buying questions today. There we go. Dan, I'm so glad you finally landed in New York.
I finally got to my office, and I'm here now.
Finally got to your $5 million penthouse. What a lot of people don't realize is Dan actually has a $32 million penthouse in New York City. It's that building that like is swaying right now. So he actually bought it at a discount. It's actually a $64 million penthouse. So I'm glad you made it there.
So I apologize, folks. Don't leave us. It's a good one tonight.
Cool. So we're going to answer your questions in here. So feel free to leave those in the chat. I already see some questions in here, which is awesome. What I'm curious at the moment is how is everyone feeling about kind of their home buying journey at the moment? What are some like emotions that are coming up? Some thoughts that are coming up? What is it that you're like generally running into at the moment? Sometimes I think it's easy for us like on our side to just kind of throw information at you without considering like what's going on in your life right now as it relates to real estate or maybe not real estate. I would love to hear how
we did have
doing.
We did have a talk last week and Kyle was quite surprised on how many people their rent went up. And I posted a survey on my channel, the rate update. And it's crazy. It's like 25% in each category. It was like 25% of the people didn't get their rents, you know, increased, which they probably didn't have a renewal. And then you had 25% people that had 5 to 10%, and then 10 to 20%, and 20% plus. And there was like 25% in each category. So you imagine your rent going up 25 or 20% in a year. I mean, that's wow. So, you know, one of the things we should do is we should basically, you know, maybe run some scenarios for people out there saying, you know, what's the rent that you're paying right now? And then how much could that get you into a house? You know, if you made that same payment and maybe you can get a down payment assistance program or something like that, how much of a house could you get? And would that be sufficient in the area that you live in?
Ooh, you know what? You know, as always, I have a nice little calculator teed up.
You're the calculator whiz.
It's one of my it's one of the things I have to talk about in therapy all the time is why am I solving all my issues with the calculator? So I'm working on a new version of what I call the max purchase price calculator. Robin's here and Janet and Rachel. Janet said she's back. I was overseas for 3 weeks. Cool. I hope it was a fun trip. So I'm redoing the max price calculator. Which is a calculator that does just that you were talking about, Dan, where people can kind of put in their situation. It shows them how much they can afford. I know someone had a question in there earlier. I'm updating it to be a little bit different, like you mentioned, where someone can actually put in their payment and it will correlate to a price.
Perfect.
That way, very easily, you can actually just kind of scroll through. And this isn't fully released yet, so I'm so sorry. If you do get the max purchase price calculator, I'll email everybody the new update when it comes out. But let's say we're going to look at 3% down. Let's look at what kind of interest rate you want to look at, Dan?
Hey, heck, they're going back up to almost 7% again. But I quoted a bunch today that were right in the kind of lower sevens. So say like 7.25. That still doesn't feel right to say, you know, because I mean, have you been, you've been in the market for a decent amount of time. Have you ever seen rates over 5% in your career?
Well, just now.
Other than this, other than right now in history, have you ever seen, you know, a
No,
6%
no.
or 7% rate? And that's why I think there's a lot of shock. And then other people, and I get it, where you know, a lot of people were out there saying, well, you know, you're old, but you know, when I bought my first house, your parents will probably say this, when I bought my first house, you know, the rates were 15%. Well, yeah, but you know, it all correlates kind of. But the home values, I got a video, I'm working on some videos right now to kind of, you know, the big buzzword out this week was, you know, home buyers or homeowners lost $2 trillion in, or $2 billion in net whatever. Well, that's, yeah, but they don't give you the thing. If you've been in the house for 2 years, you picked up, you know, you picked up 40% in value and you gave back five. If that's a stock, you would be in love with that stock and you'd buy it again. So you got to put things in perspective.
So yeah, all right, let's roll with 725. These rates here are just kind of some general averages for homeowners insurance, mortgage insurance, property taxes. Those are all going to depend, you know, are all going to be different depending on the state or the county that you're buying in. We'll just run off some averages for now. So let's take a look. Let's see. You have a payment in mind?
Me? I'll say 20. Let's take my house payment. I think my house payment is 2,600 bucks.
2,600. So that would land us around 300,000. That again, that's doing close to the min. Oh, what are we doing? The minimum down payment here. So this is the price breakdown. Would be just under that amount. So 2,593 is what this would all total out to here. What's really kind of depressing to see is, you know, we look at 300,000 here. Is if interest rates do drop to, let's say, oh man, it's crazy to say drop to
Yeah.
five. would give us about $60,000 additional in purchase price that we could go up in for the same monthly payment, which is a little bit frustrating. But yeah, so I am working on this, and if anyone has like one that they want to run through and for the time being, I can pull this up. This isn't released yet, but hopefully I should be getting this out soon so everyone can kind of play around with their numbers. A little bit like this. And if you're in, you know, Dan's $64 million penthouse, it's going to be close,
$2,600
you
house payment is perfect
know.
for this. Look at it. Look at the view.
Yeah, for those of you who don't, I am kidding. Dan does not. I hope there's no like articles about like
No.
YouTube real estate guy has $64 million penthouse. That's
Yeah.
definitely a joke. Cool. Let's get in some questions here. CM said I started in mortgage in 2009 and the rates are now the highest I've ever seen. Unfortunately, that is where we're at. Rochelle or Rachel, let me know how you say your name. You said got our offer accepted on Monday. Third offer was the charm. Awesome. That's great to hear. Danielle said I haven't started, but my market is swamped with flippers. Buy up all the affordable homes driving up the market. Danielle, I'm curious, where are you at? You'll share as much or as little as you'd like. A state would be awesome, but city would be cool too. NYC Ducky said, discouraged trying to afford anything. Totally get it. All right, someone had a question at the very beginning. If a house has been on market for 3 months, what concessions or credits are reasonable to ask for, and what is a reasonable price down offer? Example, $20,000 to $30,000 decrease. You want to take that?
Yeah, I mean, it would have to be the first thing I would look at is don't really think, you know, 2, 3 months on the market. Was it 3 months on the market? That is kind of a long time. When you talk 20, 10, $20,000 or something like that, I would mostly look at percentages because if it's a $100,000 house offering 80 grand, you're probably not going to get it. But I would say, you know, drop 5%. And see if they bite, 10% even, see if they bite. Because their realtor should be doing a good job of adjusting that price as the market moves because it's not selling. They might not want to sell the property. And we talked last week about divorce situations and things like that where you're kind of, you have to put the house on the market, but the person doesn't really want to sell. So I would check you with your realtor and say, you know, what's going on with this property? She should be able to reach out to the other realtor and kind of get some details for you. But I apologize, I went over 30 seconds, but I wanted to
I
make sure I
know.
answered. I wanted to make that, you know, full disclosure because there might be a reason, or there it might even be a divorce situation. So you don't know. So that's why I would always suggest, you know, get have your realtor do it. Do what you hired him for. you know, that's what they can help you with.
Jay said, why would you put up a 30-second timer? Because Dan and I tend to go over on answering the questions. And then what happens is people get mad at us for not answering more questions. And so it's, we do that to try to shorten the time span. That doesn't always end up happening.
But if you have a question, we just don't have time to answer, you really want to get detailed, we do a one-on-one consultation with you guys, and it's right here. Just click it. That's what our sales staff does almost all day, every day, even Saturdays. So schedule an appointment. Just kick the tires. See what you qualify for. See what, you know, maybe we can help you with your credit. The services that I don't think a lot of people know what we can help you with is, we can help you with your credit. We can help you get pre-approved. We can even help you with a realtor. We have a realtor on basically on staff that vet realtors all over the country in your specific area to make sure you're assigned to a really good vetted realtor in your area.
Sorry, I'm just playing around with some cables over here. Jay also said the longer it's been up, the better the negotiation. That does tend to be true.
Good job, Jay.
Good evening, everyone. Question. Also, I think you may be the longest running viewer, active chatter here, which is really awesome, and we really appreciate you. You said, good evening, everyone. Question, does a 2-3K limited take longer to close? Any type of rehab loan is going to usually take a little bit longer to close, primarily because you're going to need to have a contractor be able to submit a bid for you. The lender's also going to have to kind of verify the work that needs to be done. And you may also be working with another person in the process called a HUD consultant. So usually I would expect closer to around 45 to 60 days for those loans to close. That way nobody's scrambling at the end, all stressed out. Always love when people try to do those loans under a 30-day contract.
You can't. No, it won't close in time. I can almost guarantee you that, no matter who you use as your lender.
Hey, Dan, you mentioned a program to help lower monthly student loan payments. Can I do this with IBR already in place? Maybe can even lower from there.
Yes, you can't. Check it out. So I think Kyle even has the link to the same place as my Loan Sense. You can go there. The nice thing about their system, you can kick the tires all the way up to, you can even see what proposals you can get. And then basically, if you want to hire them to do all the paperwork and in the yearly follow-ups and everything else, you can do that. And I think the total cost is like $250 maybe. That is cheap when it comes to how much money you could save. But it usually gives you up to 5 or 6 options on your payment plans, and you pick the best one that fits for you.
Yeah. Well, the nice thing, like you mentioned, is you can enter all the info and it will show you what options you have available. So you can see if they're actually ones that you want to take. And then you don't have to pay unless you actually go through with one of the options. But you can go to winthehouseyoulove.com/student. And that has the calculator in there. It will guide you through the whole thing, show you the different options with your student loans. And then if you want to, you can work with LoanSense if that's going to provide some savings for you. Eternity Chris and Reginald, good to see you in here. We're going to get to your questions here in just a second. Angel said, hello from Hershey, Pennsylvania. Hey. Good to see you again. Let's say I pull 170 annual. I have $4K a month in expenses, not including rent, with a 790 score. How much can I reasonably afford in terms of a house? I feel like I'm priced out in New York City. I will say, cool. New York City is its own beast. And unfortunately, I feel like $170,000 in New York City is going to make it tough. It's depending on what you're looking at. But that is an extremely tough city to buy in. You need a very high income to purchase. And normally 170 would be very high in most of the US, but New York City is its own thing. What I'd be interested in is the $4,000 a month in expenses. I didn't put the timer up. is lenders are going to look at your debts. What are the minimum debt payments on things like student loans, credit cards, car loans, personal loans, and maybe any other mortgage that you might have that you're not getting rid of. So that's what's going to be included in there. It's going to depend a lot on credit score, your down payment, a lot of other different factors, but 45% of your gross monthly income is a good rule of thumb for how much a lender might approve you for. Okay, so if you're making $170,000, I'm going to divide that by 12. So that gives you $14,166 per month gross. That's pre-tax income. If I multiply that times 0.45, then a lender general rule of thumb would approve you likely up to $6,375 per month in total debt. So that has to include, again, all those minimum monthly payments on your debts and your future mortgage as well. So that might give you a good rule of thumb. I also have a calculator that does that. It's called the Max Purchase Price Calculator. The link's in the description, walks you through all the different math and different risk factors in there. And Maximus, I think I just answered this question. How do banks calculate how much to approve me? So there we go. Danielle said, do I have to wait until my debts are marked as paid to apply for a pre-approval? I'm planning on paying off my car and little credit card balances I have before getting a loan. Dan's ready to take this.
Yeah. Here's what I always tell people to do. Don't do anything. I know you're scratching and itching to get those things paid off. Here's what I would suggest you do. Hold that money in your account. We can deem those to be paid at closing, because what will happen is, let's say for some reason it doesn't close or something else happens or something happens to you and you can, that money, you could use that money right now, use it. So we want to just, if it all goes through, we're going to pay those off at closing. And then that's what you do. You just bring a little bit extra money to closing to cover all those bills that we're paying off. But that's the easiest way to do that.
Yep.
And again, guys, if we don't question or we're short on it because we run out of time, please schedule appointments up here. It's not a hard sale. We're here just to answer these questions, just like we do on this video.
Are there any ways to get a lender to help pay some of your closing costs other than a CFIRC? What's a CFIRC? What that is? CFIRC.
I mean, always look it up. You want to look it up? If we raise your rate, so here's how rates work. Let's say today we'll reference some terminology and I'll explain that terminology to you. When we say par, that means you don't owe us any money. We don't owe you any money, like in credits. So let's say that the today's rate is par is 7.
They said credit for interest rate chosen. Is that a real acronym? I have never heard that.
So if, let's say the rate is 7 is par. So how we used to make money in the Wild West days is we would upsell your rate. And that's why we were references basically the car dealers, used car salesmen in the mortgage business, because our job would be basically to sell you the highest rate we possibly can and make as much money as we can.
Well, to clarify, when you say we, you're just saying loan officers. We didn't do that specifically.
The loan officer. I'm sorry. Yeah, the loan officer. What happened back when the world crashed in 2008 was they put in a lot of regulations. So now we contract with every bank that they pay us a percentage of the loan amount, period. So if let's say the rate, again, I'll go back to the rate's par at 7. If you want to take a rate at 7.25, say, that might give you 0.5% of the loan amount back in credits. So we can always increase your rate a little bit, and then you'll get credits back to cover maybe your appraisal fee, your other costs. It cannot go toward your down payment, but yes, those can go to other costs involved when you're doing a loan. That's how a lot of lenders do no closing costs. They just upsell the rate, use the extra money there, credit it back to you, and pay the costs.
Yeah. Well, their question was specifically, is there a way to get the lender to do that without increasing the rate to get your credit back? The only other option there would be to go with some sort of like down payment assistance program that would help cover, basically you're paying a cash to close. It doesn't really matter if you're paying the down payment or the closing costs, it all gets bundled together. So with something like a down payment assistance program that could help lower your cash out of pocket at closing, that would really be the only other option for a lender to be able to help you out in that capacity.
My bad.
Oh, no worries. Tamara said, hey there, Miguel. Hello, Tan. Good afternoon. Should we wait until we're under contract to reach out to lenders so we can compare rate and closing costs? What should we look for when we compare? So not really, because if you find a lender right now who is going to offer you a better rate than another one, odds are that it's going to be the same when you're under contract. They're going to like go in line with the market. It's not like they're all over the place. So I think that is the best, that really trying to find that earlier rather than later. Oh, running out of time. It's 30 seconds, goes fast.
Keep going. And then this one's a,
yeah. So what we do, we have an interesting model. So we work, under a company called Allied First Bank, so we can work in all of the U.S. But what we do is we broker most of the loans that we work with. So basically what we do is we look at around 80 different lenders to find which is going to be the best loan option for you in terms of the rate and the cost as well. And so when we're working with these lenders, these are a lot of the lenders that you're probably going to apply with on your own. So things like, you know, we work with Rocket Mortgage, or we work with, you know, all, a lot of these bigger companies like Caliber, which is now, oh my gosh, who just purchased Caliber?
New Res.
It's right there. So I'm just so used to it being Caliber, and they still have the H2O portal. Yeah, so we can help with a lot of that work to be able to scan what's going to be one of the best there. And so kind of one of the best ways to think about it is like when you're getting a mortgage, you're getting that money from somewhere. And when you work with a direct lender, they kind of have one pool of money that they can offer, and that's about it. They're like, this is what we have to offer. When you work with someone like who functions as a broker like us, we have access to 80 different pools of money, and they all compete for your business. And that's where it's really helpful for us to be able to help scan that for you. And then we can find a lender that's going to work best in your situation. So we'd be happy to do that for you. CM said New Res. If you'd like, you can go up here for a free home loan consult, where we can walk you through that and show you some quotes and help you take a look at those numbers up front.
We also have the loan estimate upload.
Oh, yes. That's in the description as well.
In the description, which you can do, is there's a loan estimate. What's it called on there? Is it we basically review your loan estimate. So what we'll do is we'll take the data from that, and then we'll plug it into this system. It'll scan the whole country, all 80, I think there's 87 of them right now. It'll scan all those and categorize it. It's here's the best rate, here's the next one, here's the next one. We just go with the best rate.
Yeah, we did a live stream. We need to do that again. We did a live stream where we show that up on screen and walk through the system. We probably need to do that again in the future. CM said, I'm just not seeing the inventory in my price range in my neighborhood. I could afford to buy something, but I just don't want to pay that much, especially with a higher rate right now. So I'll keep renting. I think a lot of people are in that situation too. Let's see. Did we say hi to Robin yet? Hello, Robin.
Hello.
We need lots Robin. Of hi Robins in the chat. So let's make sure this is all filled. Hello, Robins. Keep this
everybody.
Up.
Come on, everybody on chat. Ooh, Robin.
Let's see. Ramon. Abe Harim, I think Harim, is that it? Abe Harim? ZD, I wish there was a little pronunciation thing next to names. Let's see. Mr. Robinson said, any suggestions with anyone buying a contract and needing to get a mortgage per the terms of the agreement, despite having blemishes on their credit? With buying a contract.
That should have already been cleared with your pre-approval. Because your credit is one of the biggest things reviewed. So if unless your loan officer or whomever really botched this thing, you got an approval, you should be good to go. Now, we had several contracts come in within the last few weeks where the taxes, real estate taxes, were much more than we anticipated. And we ran into issues on a couple of them. But I think we got a clear to close on one or two of those today. Because we then tried to restructure and things like that. Guys, we're on your side. We're going to restructure this, do everything we can to help you get into that property.
Daniel said, I'm looking for something under budget. 200,000 is my max, but I'm looking for 150 to 180. So you're probably in like a lower cost living area like I am, which I love. I love some like lower cost of living areas. I feel like everyone on YouTube, I was always talking about buying in these like super expensive cities. It's like, you know, a lot of people live in other places. Rickless Cage said, Dan never replied to my email. That probably got missed on accident. Do you know who that is? Because it says a screen name, not a person's name.
That's one of the things I'm pretty adamant about. You can ask Kyle. You usually email me unless I completely miss it. I usually email you back pretty instantly. Same thing with texts. If you text me, I usually respond right away, and it might even be like, who's this? It could have went to my spam or something like that. So if you could,
If you could send another email to Dan, and then we'll just double check there's nothing kind of wrong with our system, because we want to make sure that,
I mean, you know, Kyle's is probably down in the description down below. You can CC him on it. One of us will get it, and then he'll make sure he references it back to me. But I apologize. I that's one of the things I do pride myself on. I don't let one email go by. You can email me at 11 o'clock and you might get an email back.
That guy Rye said, I've thought great about real estate for the past few months, probably 6 months away from buying my first investment property. Sweet. Let's see. What else we got here? I wish the rates would go to 5% or below.
You and me both.
I will say about email, man, I just switched over my email client and I like it pushed a bunch of stuff not into my inbox, and oh my gosh, I was so upset. Let's see, Ethan, how does it work if I have a 710 credit score? My wife has a 550 credit score. Whose credit do they go off of? Dan, are you surviving over there?
Yeah. I just drank some water and it went down the wrong pipe.
You can't die on a live stream. That's one of the rules.
Whose credit do they...
Yeah, go for it.
The lowest score, you take it.
Okay. I was like, go take another drink of water or something. So what's going to happen is they're going to use the lower score, unfortunately. So they're actually going to take the median of both of your scores, so the middle one, and then they're going to take the lowest between the two of you if you're both on the loan. And again, that is only if both of you are on the loan. If you can, it's going to be best if just you can be on the loan so we can use your higher credit score. And then your spouse can still be on the title so they can still have ownership of the property without being on the loan. However, if we need them on the loan for the income to help you get approved for it, we will have to go with a lower option. You said 3 months ago, she just switched from a commission job as well, or switched to a commission job as well. So immediately that's going to count out her income, unfortunately. And she'll likely need to have probably 2 years on that commission job to be able to use it. So what I'd first do is see, can we get you approved for a loan just with you on it? So we can use take advantage of that higher credit score.
Perfect. I don't know what happened. I think our view count all of a sudden spiked too. I think maybe the words out there might go viral. There's a guy on YouTube dying.
We're going to get kicked off of YouTube if you die. I think that's against the terms of service or probably one of those things.
Perfect.
Tan said, the market's getting crazy again. I think the bidding war is back. We offered 20,000 over asking price, but didn't win. We're 30 minutes away from Seattle. I've heard a very similar thing about, Sacramento has been heating up a little bit too. You followed the, Sacramento appraisal blog, no. Ryan Lundquist.
Here's an interesting one. Alan is a business partner of ours, and his father-in-law passed away about 6-8 months ago, and they're in North Carolina. I think it's Charleston. And Alan went down there last week, and they're like, okay, we're going to put the house up for sale. They met with a realtor, and the realtor said, I would go with about $395. And Alan did his comp searches, because that's basically what we do for a living. He said, I think we can get $425 on it. He's like, okay, let's try it. It went on the market Friday. They had... I think he said, did you talk to him today? Did he tell you how many bids came in? There was tons of bids. They actually got a cash offer for $450. So $25,000 over asking.
Nice.
So when people come and say the markets are crashing and whatever, please do your due diligence. There are areas that are going to get crumbled, you know, but those areas probably saw 50, 60, 70% increase in values over the last 2 years. It can't be sustained. It's not going to hold. But if you're in areas that still, it's populated, if there's a good need for housing there, the employment's good, everything's good, don't worry about it. In 5 years, you're going to look back and say, oh, that wasn't so bad. I mean, but it might be a year or two of holy crap, but everything will be okay. And the biggest thing I try to stress to people, and I'll leave it at that, is The nice thing about this is when I watch a lot of YouTube videos and things like that, if I watch them and I've never owned a house and I really don't know what I'm getting into, I think that, wow, my mortgage payment, even though once I buy a house, my mortgage payment's still going to go up year after year after year. That doesn't happen. When you buy a house, basically you're locking in your housing payment, basically forever. So if you don't escrow your taxes and insurance, your house payment will never, ever change in 30 years. So I put a survey out on my YouTube channel the other day, and I went over it earlier. Probably half the people on there, they saw their rents go up 10 to 20 or 20% plus in the last year, their rents. So, you know, if that's where you want to be, but if you really want to get into a house, you know, what I worked diligently on in the last 2 weeks is finding us a fantastic down payment assistance program. And I think I just launched that on YouTube for you guys to check it out. And if I didn't, it should be coming out in the next day or two. So we found two fantastic programs, one throughout the whole country and one in California.
Yang Sam said, is no news good news during underwriting process? We're scheduled to close in a week, but haven't heard anything from our lender. Our agent said no need to follow up with them. Generally, yes. Usually a lot of mortgage companies aren't super like, we're going to give you an update every single day because it's not really needed. What I would do if you're kind of in that spot where you're like, I feel like, this anxiety is building up, just shoot your loan officer an email. Hey, could you just give me a quick update? We all good to go. Anything else I need to do? And they should be able to respond to you pretty quickly. Yeah. Just say, yep, all is good to go, is really the best way to do that. Oh, let me hop back in here to where we were.
Let me check if see if it's still raining.
Oh no.
I was gonna go walk the dog.
Dan's YouTube channel is linked right in the title of this video, The Rate Update with Dan Friel. Looking to buy a house in about 6 to 10 months, I have some medical bills that went to collections last year. I know by paying it off it'll bring it current. Is it better to pay after buying a house? Yes, do not touch your collections. Usually paying collections will lower your credit score. If you can get approved without touching your collections, pay off the collections after you close on your home. It's going to be the best option.
And medical collections are exempt, so you don't have to worry about them.
Yep. Bryce said, my rent is going up, and with baby number two coming, we need more room. I just started a good job 2 months ago. My wife works part-time and is looking for a better job. Do we need to wait? How long? And USDA. My wife works part-time. Do we need to wait? So as far as you starting your job 2 months ago, it really depends what the pay type was on your previous job and then the current job as well. So we need to take a look into that. For most people, it's not a concern. Most people go from like a W-2 job to a W-2 job, usually at the same or higher pay. And if that's the case, you'll be perfectly fine there and you don't need to wait. And then USDA, in my opinion, is a great option. I love USDA loans. They offer 0% down, really low mortgage insurance, but they're only for certain what are rural areas. And you can look up the USDA property eligibility map on Google to figure out which properties qualify. Okay. Let's see. There's a question about predictions on interest rates. And we kind of stay out of as a what's the word I'm looking for? Like a stance. Stay away from predictions, I think, is kind of where we try to stay at. they're just not super helpful to anybody.
If you want, follow my channel, because I try to give you the economic news, the economic calendar, events coming up, how that should affect the markets, especially mortgage rates. So that's one of the biggest things I do on my channel. It's more of an economics channel, where Kyle's channel is more educational and goes through the guidelines and things. I do that as well. He does a much better job at that than I do. But I do a lot of economics on my channel, going through things like that. But I used to do it every day. I got away from it because it wears on you. Plus I get people just, they leave me bad comments and I got thin skin a lot of times, and I read those and it's just like, I don't know. But yeah, follow my channel if you would. It's down in the description below. If you like the videos, give it a thumbs up. If you don't watch them again. But that's what I try to do, is give you kind of ideas on where things are heading.
Reginald said, my sister just received her escrow statement from her home insurance doubled. For escrow statement, her home insurance doubled. She will get a new quote from another provider. Would she have to pay the entire 12-month premium immediately? It really depends on that insurance company, but usually no. Dan, what are your thoughts on that, the entire 12
months? Yeah, so what will happen is you should your payment will be adjusted. So what happens is your insurance went up. There's going to be a time frame of your payments that they're going to require that you to kind of fill in the gap. I would highly suggest, depending on what area that you're in, we are kind of joining with a mortgage or a insurance broker, because this is one of the areas that we see a lot of times, because I see everybody's insurance when they're closing on their homes. And there's so many people that are paying so much money. We're trying to help people in that sphere too, because I use my buddy's brokerage and he saved me. It's funny you said that. I just signed a check in there for $2,022. It was a refund back. That's how much he's saving me on my insurance over a year. So we're partnering with him. We're kind of joined forces with him. So you might want to email me the state you're in and your policy. Let me see if I can get you a quote.
Someone asked, who's the guest and what's his channel? It's in the title right here in the bottom.
I'm Dan Frio and I work. Dan Frio. We work together.
We do work together. We call each other way too much.
I've been popping on here for the last month or two on his live events just to kind of coordinate things and just to try to help people.
Let's see. Selena said, how do you turn your first home into a future rental property? Really, if you live in the home for a year, you can then turn it into a rental property with no issues at all and without having to refinance. Just make sure that you live in it as a primary occupant, for at least 1 year. Okay. Joe Dell said, my husband and I are trying to buy a home in another state. My credit is 696, but because we need to help with the closing costs, they won't finance us. Looking to move to Oklahoma, can you advise me? I'm curious, who is not helping with the closing costs? Is that the seller? Is that what you're looking for? Is like a seller credit? I'm curious. I feel like there's a little bit of a piece here that we're missing in the financing part, because that wouldn't necessarily be a reason for not getting approved for financing, is because of closing costs. Maybe it's there's not enough money to cover the cash to close. And you can negotiate for the seller to actually pay a portion, if not all, of your closing costs. So that would be a really quick remedy if you're running into that issue. And a lot of markets, especially like I imagine in Oklahoma, doesn't have a ton of super hot markets, are leaning in the way where people are able to ask for seller credits to help cover those closing costs. So I feel like there's a little bit of a piece that I'm missing here. But that's what I would suggest, is maybe taking a look at seller concessions to help pay down those closing costs for you.
Or there's down payment assistance programs as well. And then, I just had another idea for you. Oh, here's an idea for you. And your realtor should have thought of this. Is, let's say, for example, you're buying, did they put down the property price that they were paying?
Nope.
Okay, if you're early enough in the game, what you could do is, let's say you're buying the property for $250. Go back to the seller and say, how about I give you $255 and you give me $5,000 back in credits? That'll help you, because otherwise you can't close. You got to think of it. On the seller's side, they're still netting $250. Basically, you're paying them extra and they're just kind of giving it back to you. So that's a quick little fix, but it depends on how far along in the stage you are. Because if the appraisal is already done and everything else, you're probably going to be stuck.
Let's see. Robin said, I want to get pre-approved for a first home. I'm employed and I have a 401k. My credit score is 735, but I have no down payment. I don't know if I can afford a home by July 2023. What can I do? You want to take that? Because that kind of covers into your down payment assistance.
So does she say she does have a 401k?
She says, I have a 401k. Yes.
You can. So let's assume that there's enough money in there for you to use that money for your down payment and everything else. the strategy there is the best thing to do is take a loan against your 401k. What you do not want to do is you do not want to take a distribution, because what's going to happen is you're going to have to pay a penalty on the distribution. Then you're going to have to pay taxes on it as well. So you're probably going to net about half of what you take. But if you take it out as a loan, then you just basically pay back yourself. So, you know, you take out 10 grand and you're going to put 10 grand back in, and there's no time frame. It's basically up to you to do that. But if that's not, you don't have those areas. Another area you can look at is, would your parents or any relatives be looking to gift you some money to help you? If that's not the case, then we have down payment assistance programs all throughout the country. And the probably the best ones out there are for California. But if you're not in California, we still have a fantastic down payment program that we're putting together all the criteria on right now. And it's basically free money. It's not like most down payment assistance programs. Once you walk out of the closing, it's a second lien on your property or a third lien on your property, meaning a mortgage and so forth. You might have to make payments, you might not, but you have to pay it back. The one that we found and we're educating our staff with right now and launching out to you guys is it's free money. You walk out of the closing and there is no strings attached. And we found it, and that we're putting it all together to offer to you guys.
Herber said, thank you all for sharing this information. Is there a loan that allows you to buy a piece of land and a mobile separately, but with one single loan? Oh yeah. Who is the lender that we're working with for the mobile home? Oh. So they do,
we're in the process of working with a huge manufactured lender. I know the paperwork's still going back and forth, and they did single wides and double wides. They will do lot loans and stuff like that, but right now we don't have it. we're actually trying to put it together with this lender. But that's a tricky one. What I would suggest is maybe go to a local bank, because it's probably prominent in your area. So they might have a lot of options for you, believe it or not.
Yeah, because the mobile homes are like an entirely different world than traditional residential or single family. Can you check with a payment of $1,800, please? Yes, I can. $1,800 puts you around 208. Here's what we're assuming here, right? We're putting around a 7.25 rate, 30-year, 3% down. These are just estimates in here for mortgage insurance, homeowners insurance, and property taxes. So this is going to change depending on, you know, property taxes are a lot higher. You're in Chicago, close to Chicago, like Dan is, this taxes are going to be a lot higher. Another thing, too, is if you're looking at, you know, let's say interest rates are, why is this jumping around? Oh, let's say 6.75. That's going to put you closer to 2.16 here.
Those calculators are on your site, right?
That one is not released yet. Okay. I'm hoping to get that out soon. That one is going to be a beast. So basically what I'm trying to do with this is like the new version of the max price calculator that I'm trying to work on, is basically going to guide you through the whole, like, start from not understanding the whole process to having the whole thing. It's going to, you know, you can put in when you want to buy, and it's going to give you an idea of your whole timeline, walk you through affordability, walk you through down payment, closing costs, exploring, you know, all different types of concessions and programs and rent versus own, the whole deal. So it's taking me a little bit of time, but hopefully it should be out soon. Let's see. Hello, guys. Good evening. When is the mortgage insurance premium reduction effective date for FHA? So yeah, it is on March 20th. If my loan closes on the 20th, am I getting the reduced rate? No. It's for case numbers. So FHA loans have what's called a case number assigned to it. I'm trying to think of the best way to describe it.
Hold on. 1 second. I'm not trying to contradict you on that. I just received an email. I'll forward it to you when we're done. There was one or two lenders sent me. Well, I got the same kind of email. They said they'll do it now. Even if you're closing on the 20th or 21st, they can retro back your case number somehow. And I just got that. So Kyle's not trying to, you know, give you the wrong information. I just got an update today. This is all in motion as we speak. So sweet. We got a contract in today, and they're closing on the 23rd. So I reached out to the lender, and they said, yeah, as long as it's closing at that time or after, you're good to go. So there might be a little loopholes there. We'll get back with you next week on that one live. So please join us back, or, you know, schedule a consultation. I'll be updating everybody tomorrow once I get clarification of that, and then we'll let you know. But that's one of the reasons why, you know, schedule a consultation. And if that's your only question, that's fine. At least you're getting that answered.
Every once in a while, there are a couple lenders that don't follow the rules and they have their own things, which is great. But it's like, man, trying to keep track of.
I was looking that up earlier today, and then I just got that email, and I'm like, you know, and so a lot of lenders are jockeying right now because they need the business. So they're doing, you know, they're pulling any strings they can.
Jessica, thank you for the super chat. You said, hi, my current middle score is 595. I was advised by a loan officer to pay down about $1,000 on one of my student loans. You said six. I don't know what that means. To raise my score 5 points. Would consolidation lower my debt to income ratio? Hesitant. I would have to start paying on them. No. Also, $1,000 for 5 points doesn't seem like... I'd be curious. There's a lot of things in here that I'm... raise a little bit of concern for me. Getting from a 595 to a 600 isn't going to have a huge significant changes on an approval. It doesn't push you into a different type of loan. You might get a slightly better interest rate, but that's about it. And 5 points likely is not going to put you on the verge of getting denied versus an approval. Even if you were getting a denial in the beginning, you can always flip that over into a manually underwritten loan. So in here, there's a couple things I'm like, I don't understand what's going on here. What I would suggest, as opposed to consolidation, if these are federal student loans, is looking into working with a company called My Loan Sense. And in there is where they can help you actually take a look at your student loans and finding out, is there something in there that they can help you lower the payment so that you can get approved for a mortgage? Because you said you're not paying on them right now. This plan that is being proposed doesn't sound like an effective plan to me. Again, I don't know all the information, but what I would first do is talk with a company like LoanSense, see if they can help you understand how you could lower your monthly payment on your student loans to help your debt to income ratio. And then I would draw more questions about, why do we even need the 5 points? What's the 5 points getting us in here? Yeah.
That's what I would do. Because what you just with the comment there was, it makes no sense to pay $1,000 on your student loan. What's that going to do? It probably won't raise. It might raise your credit score. It's really going to do nothing for your debt ratio, because when an underwriter is looking at your debts, they look at your student loan debt. And let's say on average we have to use 1% of the balance of your student loan debt as a payment, because you're not in payment mode right now. So at 1%, that's the high end, 1%. At 1% of $1,000, you're reducing your monthly debts by $10. So that doesn't make any sense. And I don't really think it's going to help your scores that much, which, like Kyle said, just getting 5 points on your score isn't going to help much either. So there's a disconnect here. So what I would suggest you do is get a second opinion and click here. And that's what we do on these consultations. It's just one-on-one with you guys. And it's just like this. We answer the questions that you have, make sure you're comfortable, and there you go. If you'd like to use our services, we're there for you.
Toby said, hi, I'm self-employed as a video editor, but some of my income is paid via PayPal. Will that raise an issue? Also, my wife is employed, so does that help? If your wife is on the loan and she's employed, great. We can use that income. The PayPal is not really an issue as long as you have invoices along with that. Hopefully, those are being deposited into a business bank account that makes everything a lot easier. If you have an invoice and a business bank account and it comes in, awesome. Just expect an underwriter to see that, that they may ask about the source of that. If it's coming into a personal account, is where they're going to probably draw some questions from that. If it's going into a business account and then you're paying yourself from the business with draws, or you're paying yourself, maybe you're an S corp and you're paying yourself a payroll and you're on, you know, W-2, then they're not even going to see those business bank statements. So it really just depends on the structure of how that money is coming in. But I imagine for a lot of video editors, you're probably using a Schedule C. So it's maybe coming into a personal bank account. If that's the case, just expect to have invoices paired with those deposits in your account as well.
Dude, that was long, but it sure was good.
Oh, thank you so much. It's the reinforcement I always need.
I'm glad I'm finally cracking you out of your shell.
What shell? There's no shell here. Let's see. Freedom Girl said, "If you pay off,
what's up, Freedom Girl? Were you? You weren't? Was she here last week? Hold on. What did I do with my drink?
So
she's the one. Wasn't she the one that started this?
What's that?
Her and Shaba.
Started
weren't
what?
They start, weren't they the ones starting Drinking Wednesday? I know it's not Wednesday. That's my fault.
Oh,
I think that was maybe. Farm Girl and Shaba.
It's like Shaba Baba, I think.
Did she have a question? I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. Yeah, I heard off, Farm Girl and I got all excited.
Freedom Girl. You got to get it right.
Freedom, my bad.
Thanks
for joining us on a Tuesday. It's my bad. I'm leaving for Florida tomorrow because the weather like this. So I'm going down there just for the weekend.
You think after you paid $90 million for a penthouse that you finally, you know, like it wouldn't come with rain. They'd be able to, you know, put a nice umbrella out there or something.
Oh, when I walk outside, they roll out a red carpet and the guys come with umbrellas and stuff like that. Guys, we're just joking.
Oh, gosh. Okay. So if you pay off all your credit cards and have zero balances, will they still count towards your debt to income ratio with the payments you used to make or not? No, if you have a zero balance, that is not included in your debt to income ratio. So you will be good. If you just paid off your account and maybe the credit report is still showing that you have a balance, because that can sometimes take around, it depends on the time, but maybe 30 days to update on your credit report, then you can just give the lender or your loan officer a statement showing it's a zero balance, and then they'll remove it from the debt to income ratio on your application. Let's see. Kezol, I'm looking to get a car lease with a low down payment and shop for a mortgage in March. Will that affect my mortgage approval amount as a first-time home buyer? Yep, the car lease is going to be included in your debt-to-income ratio. So what might be helpful is to talk with a lender first, and you can reach out to us and we can help you with that. Say like, hey, I'm looking at buying a car. Can you help me see, can I get approved for a mortgage now? And if I get a car lease of X dollars per month, how will that affect my situation? Because what we can actually do is plug that into the underwriting software and actually run it through and make sure that that's all going to be good to go when you do end up getting a payment at that amount. All right. Toby has another super chat. Drew, good night.
Drew said
night, you two. Oh, he's been in here. I unfortunately haven't been able to get there yet.
Last week. Good night, buddy.
Rickless Cage, I see your question. I'll get to it here in just a touch.
I didn't do his next, if you don't mind, because I feel bad that he emailed me and I didn't email back, I guess. Not right now, but if you could.
We have a credit score in the 750s, but we have about $10,000 in credit card debt on two cards. Should I pay this off before I apply? Our DTI is low otherwise. No, it sounds like it's probably not needed. Now, you have a 750, so you're not really going to see a benefit by even if you paid off the credit cards, your score is probably not going to increase that much. I don't see any reason why you would need to pay that off before you apply. Rickless. Can you talk about unoccupied co-borrower loans? And what happens when a co-borrower moves into the property? You want to take that?
Yeah. So a non-occupant co-borrower, you can use them basically with most programs out there nowadays. It doesn't matter if they live there or not, or if they move in at one point or not. It doesn't really affect you. The only thing is if you're buying, you're trying to buy a multi-unit with an FHA program, that the non-occupant co-borrower can't really be used in a 3 or 4 unit building. But otherwise, non-occupant co-borrowers, no big deal. Don't worry about it. They can live there. They don't have to live there. And if they move in, that's even better.
Michelle Price said, I just built my house. Mortgage rate is at 5.3. When will rates go back down so I can refinance? Or will it go back down? You know, nobody knows what the future holds. But what I will say about, you know, when we were looking at like 3%-ish interest rates, that was primarily caused not because of the Fed funds rate, not the interest rate you hear about the Federal Reserve is changing, but because the Federal Reserve was purchasing billions of dollars per month. I think it was somewhere close to, what was it, 40 billion a month?
40 billion a month.
In mortgage-backed securities. And like we don't have to go into like super deep economics, but basically the more that the Fed purchases mortgage-backed securities, the lower interest rates go. It increases demand, it tightens supply for those mortgage-backed securities, which then is going to increase the price and then lower mortgage interest rates. So what we were seeing when we were at like 3% interest rates was kind of artificially stimulated by the Fed. And right now the Fed is actually doing the opposite of that and trying to remove things from their balance sheet. So unless the Federal Reserve comes back and does the same thing where they're trying to purchase billions of dollars of mortgage-backed securities, it's very likely we won't see interest rates close to that point. I think 5 is honestly a really good rate comparatively to the rest of history. I just don't see it going back to that point anytime soon, unfortunately.
Unless we have a catastrophic event that happens. And I think hopefully the government learned this time they can't just keep printing money and sending it out to help people, because it's a short-term fix and a long-term issue.
Aparim had a question. I think, am I still saying that right? Where in the world did that go? Man, it is like a full-time job, I swear, looking, like trying to find the next, I feel like I need to ask somebody to help me like queue up questions.
I wonder if Kat can help us with that. Or is it too late there?
Honestly, she might, because it's 8 in the morning for her. Abiram. Okay. Hi, Colin Dan. Since interest rates are higher, I'm considering an ARM since I will have to refinance anyways in a couple of years. Thoughts? I'm curious, what are we starting with the refinancing in a couple of years? Like, what's driving that? I'd first want to kind of dig into what's the reason for the refinance and making sure that that's, you know, the actual plan that you need. I'm really ARM hesitant. I would not get into an ARM, especially if it's your first time buying a house. Kat said she's watching. Especially if it's the first time I'm looking at buying a house. I think that you need to be extremely confident in why you're getting an ARM and your exit strategy for an ARM as well. Because at the pace that we're going at now, it doesn't look like interest rates are heading on the lower side. And so I would just be extremely cautious of an ARM, doing a lot of research. I would also make sure that like you're debt to income ratio is very low if you're looking into an ARM, and then you also have considerable reserves, like 6 to 12 months of reserves is what I would suggest with an ARM. I just don't want you to end up in a situation like a lot of people did in around, you know, 2006 to 2009, where they had ARMs. And of course, the ARMs we have now are a lot different than they were then. But I don't want you to run into a smaller scale version of that, where the rate may increase and then you're like, oh my gosh, I can't do this anymore. And it puts you in a really tough situation. So that's my thought there. Do you have any additional thoughts, Dan?
No, I mean, I think you're right on. The biggest thing is the fear. I think the ARMs get a really bad rap because of what happened back in the early 2000s. They were terrible programs. I mean, the margins were crazy and everything. You ask anybody in the mortgage business, they're like, oh, those are bad loans. Nowadays, the problem I have with ARMs right now is short-term interest rates. So you might hear, if you watch any of the economic news, you might hear that the yield curve is inverted. Usually that happens when we're in a recession or on the brink of a recession. Basically what that means is, and it doesn't make sense why, you know, I'll say it this way. If you're looking to, you know, put your money in the bank, the longer the duration of time you have that or you're deemed that you have to keep that money in the bank, you want higher returns, okay? But what the problem is right now, 30-year rates are lower than 2-year rates. So the ARM rates are basically almost the same as the fixed rates right now, because that's the inverted yield curve. And I won't go into economics, but here's what I want you guys to do, though, if you're still on with us. If you like our videos, Kyle and mine, there's a young lady on here. Her name is Kat, and she is our video editor, and she's our basically our right-hand person that helps us tremendously with a ton of stuff that we do. All I ask you guys to do is say, hello, Kat.
Ooh, yeah.
And she's over in the Philippines, and she's probably sitting there having her morning tea.
Can we do cat
but
emojis?
If you like our videos,
is there a cat emoji?
It's her that's making us look good.
Haha, put a little cat emoji in there. There's so many cats. Oh my gosh, I didn't realize that. Oh my gosh, there was a question in here. Is it possible to get scammed by a mortgage loan officer? I've never specifically heard of a story like that. Really, one of the best ways that you can tell is, like, is your loan officer like a legitimate loan officer? Is looking for their NMLS. And so you're probably familiar, if you talked with any loan officer, is they have an NMLS, right? There's an NMLS in the description of this video for both me and Allied First Bank, which is the company I'm employed by. Dan on all of his videos has his NMLS. You know, all of our emails have our NMLS. And what you can do is go to, NMLS Consumer, what's it called? NMLS Consumer Access.org. And then you can type in that NMLS number, and it will tell you who they're employed by, show you employment history and the whole deal. And to have an NMLS, you have to pass a background check, be sponsored by a company, go through the whole process, pass a test, the whole deal.
I'd like to know why the comment, because like in any industry, there's bad characters. You know, they might ask you for, they might steal your credit card number if you give them that for your appraisal. They might ask you to, hey, you know, I paid for your appraisal. Send me $200 because I paid for it. So there's a lot of things that put it this way. If your gut just doesn't feel right, it's probably right.
That's fair. Yeah.
Because every industry has their bad characters.
Does getting a mortgage loan from my own bank speed up the process? No. Your bank's like mortgage department is going to be completely different from the checking side of your bank. And I hear this every once in a while where people are like, well, I just want all my accounts to be in one spot. And like, I get it. But I could almost guarantee that lenders who specialize in mortgages are going to offer you a better rate than a bank. So it's maybe not be true in all circumstances. But usually is the case. Let's see what else we have here. There's some law code. Dan, do you know what 31 USC 3123 is?
It's a thing, but I don't know. I don't know what it means. There's so many codes and stuff out there. Getting back to
what law that is.
While you're looking at the next question, we had somebody recently that said, you know, the realtor told him, well, you should go with the bank I referred you that's local, because if you run into any problems, they're local. Dude, it doesn't matter if they're local or they're on the other side of the country. We got the internet, you know, and most of the times when you apply with us, we can have you approved within 24 hours. And everything's cooking within 24 to 48 hours. So, you know, a lot of banks might be a little bit slower. They might be fast. But just go where you can get you feel most comfortable.
Oscar said, interest rates are rising higher. It's not wise to carry to carry credit card debt. I only run up 10%. If I use it, I just buy coffee and oatmeal in the morning. That sounds like a good plan. Darren said, I have a credit card with a $6,000 limit and currently have a $5,000 balance. How many points do you think my credit score could improve if I pay that balance? If I pay that off to a zero balance, it is impossible for me to tell. Credit is such a specific thing, because it also depends on do you have 20 other credit cards, or do you just have 2 other credit cards? Do you have a mortgage? There's all these different factors, and unfortunately, there's not a good rule of thumb.
You know what might help? So a lot of these people with that specific question, smart credit. Yeah. Credit. Have you been in there? They have the tool that's kind of, I always call it the what if simulator. So if you can go in, so I'm sure Kyle has the link, because we do some work with Smart Credit. Smart Credit has a tool. It's a fantastic credit monitoring system and credit, I don't want to say credit repair, but you can monitor your credit in that system. I actually use it personally. I think, Kyle, I think you even turned me on to it a couple of years ago. Yeah. It does have a simulator with built into that. I think it's like $19 a month or something. It's really cheap. You can go in there and you can play around with things. It's a fantastic system. I just did a video on it just recently. I would highly suggest you guys watch it. It's a cheap tool that is fantastic. That's one of those ones where you can go in and you can look at it and you can say, well, if I paid down my credit, you know, that much, you slide it over to how much you want to pay it down, and it'll simulate exactly how much you'll pick up in your credit scores. So that, I'm sure Kyle has it on his, it's probably down in the description below. It's called Smart Credit. Check it.
Is it?
If it's not, I got it on my
chat. Yeah,
okay. Yeah, Smart Credit down below. It's cheap. It's easy. And it's an easy system to work at. I messed up yesterday and I subscribed to a system that I usually pay monthly on. And I accidentally clicked the yearly subscription, and automatically that system, the Smart Credit, popped up and said, you paid an extra $2,000 than you normally pay. And I was like, oh shit. So I went back in and realized I paid a whole year instead of just a month. So
it's
instantaneously. Yeah, I screwed up.
Adrian said, if I was looking for homes in multiple markets, would I need to be pre-approved for both states? Depending on the lender you work with. So we have a federal license, meaning that if you get a pre-approval with us, it actually works in all 50 states. So with a lot of lenders, they have to be licensed in individual states because they don't have a federal license. So if you're working with a lender who can only work in one state, not the other, then yes, you would need two pre-approvals for that. Or you could work with us and we work in all 50 states and don't have to approve you for multiple states at once.
We are very unique in the industry, where we're actually a federally chartered bank. So we offer you programs through our bank as well. But then they went out years ago and said, you know what, we're gonna give all of our clients the option that to work with, if we have the program, good, if some other bank or entity out there has a better rate or better program, they set us up with those different banks and lenders, we can offer those rates, those programs, everything to you guys in one shop. So should take out a lot of the shopping for you guys, where you say, you know, I get calls every day, you know, can you send me your loan estimate? Because I got five other loan estimates. I tell you what, when your loan officer hears that, the hair on the back of their neck stands up, because it's like you're working with five different people and everybody's kind of chasing around. You know, find out at the beginning who's got the best thing and just kind of stick with it is the best advice I can give you. Unless you find out you're really getting hosed.
Let me look through here. Sweet. Okay. So I need to tell you all something. Dan and I have a problem. And the problem that we have is we work too much. And Dan and I have both been working from this morning till, well, it's 9:15 here in Ohio, and it's what, 8? It's 8:15 in Illinois. And so we get on these things every week, normally on Wednesday. I know today's Tuesday, but every Wednesday, sometimes we'll go like 2 hours, 2.5 hours. And it's a little bit of a problem because at some point we need to like take a little bit of a break, just like everyone else, does. So we're going to go ahead and wrap this up. There are plenty of questions that we weren't able to get to. As you can see, there were a lot of questions that came in here, and unfortunately we can't answer every single one on this live stream. But the good news is, like, this live stream is not like a product. This isn't like our thing. This isn't the only thing we do. Okay. We answer questions here, but primarily what we do is we have a team of loan officers that work in all 50 states. We would love to help you. We have a free home loan consult. You can go to winthehouseyoulove.com, and it's very easy to go ahead and schedule a time that works for you. Okay. Like all you have to do, winthehouseyoulove.com, click this big green button, and it's going to take you to a link. It's the end of February. Let's see. Where you can go, schedule a time that works, even on a Saturday, okay? So on those calls, again, there's no obligation, it's free. We'll talk through, we wanna see like, where are you at in the process? How can we help? What questions do you have? And then we'd like to help you get pre-approved for a mortgage so you can go ahead and buy a home confidently, okay? We're licensed in all 50 states. And Shanta said, do you have set days you go live? Yes, every Wednesday at 8. Today's been a little weird because Dan's going out of town tomorrow. But please reach out to us if you have questions. You can also email Dan and I, and then we'll also go live again next week. So thank you all for being here.
Thank you so much.
And we'll talk with you all soon.
Take care.